You've heard the word of the Lord, the gospel lesson today, Luke 12, 22 to 34. Let's say a prayer together. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord. In you we hope. Amen. In the name of Jesus, God's antidote to worry, dear fellow redeemed children of God. It's always fun on vacation for my better half and I to just go visit little towns. We stayed fairly close to home the last couple weeks, but it seemed like there was some group that was following us around. Probably just my imagination, but little towns, and they'd set up on a corner and, you know, talk to people as they went by. And last weekend, they were actually calling out to passersby, "Would you come over and put a pin in our poster?" So I, you know, at least had to look at the poster. Great big letters, you can probably guess. Climate change. And then the continuum of where you're going to put your pin. On one end, serious. On the other end, dismissive. I didn't stop to look at all the steps in between. And maybe I'm a coward to just smile and walk on by. Maybe I should be more like the Apostle Paul, you know, always engaging and debating the Greeks in the marketplace. But I don't know, people are really worried. And some are very vocal that they're denying God has anything to do with any of this or even exists. They'll tell you that. So, what are we supposed to think about? Climate change? I think about that first preacher who talked about the worst climate change so far. As far as we know, it had never rained, but 40 days? Covered the highest mountains by 20 feet? Yeah, he preached 120 years to a dead audience, Noah did. And through the flood waters that destroyed everyone else, the Lord saved Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives in the ancient Chinese character. For a large ship is a small boat with eight mouths. These characters go back to about 2500 BC, time of the flood, by biblical reckoning. Interesting, isn't it? 120 years to a dead audience. What are you supposed to think? Maybe, you know, all of that, you know, way far off. They're talking about things centuries away. They think they can control it, but can we? And maybe you just got things closer to home that are really on your mind, like your portfolio and your fixed income. And the way those don't always go together the way you'd like them to, right? Or family, friends, relationships. And then comes Jesus, speaking to his disciples with the antidote for worry. Part of it's the command, do not worry. But he never stops there. He gives promises too. Do not worry, and check this out. Check out creation. To his disciples, Jesus said, "For that reason, I tell you, stop worrying about your life, about what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Because last week there was that rich man who had a bumper crop. Nothing wrong with storing it, but he's godless in his attitude. "I'm just going to put it all away. I'm going to kick back and enjoy life." And God came to him that night and said, "You fool. Tonight I'm going to take your life from you, and then who's going to get everything you've stored up for yourself?" Jesus says we need to be rich toward God. That's his antidote for greed. But times of prosperity can do more damage to people's faith than times of difficulty and heartache. Isn't that strange? times of prosperity are the hardest times for the church because people tend to, you know, be dismissive. So Jesus says, stop worrying about your life, about what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear. Certainly life is more than food and the body is more than clothing. Wow. Everybody that's going to hear this for the rest of time, and everybody at that time had clothing and needed food. Jesus, the master teacher, he just takes everything from everything around us, takes physical things and makes spiritual blessings. So he says, consider the ravens and consider the wildflowers. The word for raven in the Greek original of the New Testament actually sounds like the word crow. And that song that we sang, you know, consider the ravens high above you. They're not usually above me. I see them like in the road, daring my car to run over them. Or you know how they're just so sassy, these flying rats. This morning in my neighbor's yard, they're fighting over some little patch of ground. The bugs, the worms, I don't know. But it went on for a while. Huh. Ravens. Maybe too much like people. Worried. He's preaching in Galilee. If you ever get to go there during, you know, the summertime or the spring, the wildflowers are awesome. The scholars don't know that this is lilies, the word that's used here in the Greek original. And so wildflowers is probably a better translation. But can you just imagine those sloping hills, especially on the north end where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount? Luke doesn't tell us in the resolute journey to Jerusalem exactly where Jesus is. He's headed for Jerusalem, but there's side trips from Luke 9 to Luke 19. But just imagine. Their great king, the ultimate rich man and scholar, Solomon, in all his splendor, could not compete with the wildflowers, which today are out there and then tomorrow burned in the furnace, it says, because they didn't have a whole lot of wood then or now, and they actually used grass in the, you know, heating and in cooking and things like that. Fast fire for sure, but look at it, Jesus says. That's something to consider when you check out creation. The ravens do not sow or reap. The wildflowers do not labor or spin. But I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? He tells us to look around. And he tells us not to be so full of ourselves that we think we can control everything. So I don't know about you, but I've kind of noticed this summer that it seems like every time the weatherman is predicting rain, it doesn't. Whenever he says no rain until Sunday, oh, then we have it that day or that night. And I'm not complaining. You know, we need the rain. I think it's kind of odd that most of us are just worried about our lawns, the beautiful lawns that we have. Farmers actually have to grow their food for our food. But, you know, don't worry about it, he says. What's the problem? Why is it that the weather app on my phone has two different Lino Lakes reporting stations, and they can be as much as an inch off, not prediction, but how much rain has fallen? That's just Lino Lakes. That isn't even all of Anoka County. I know we can joke, and some of them can take it, about how being a weatherman or woman, you can be wrong, you know, 90% of the time and still have your job. Some people say pastors are like that too, but you know. What's the problem? You know what it is. Oh, there was one young weatherman. He would go on and on. It's because of this. It's because of that. He would explain this high pressure area here and a low pressure over there. And he sounded very, very intelligent. And I kept asking, yeah, but why? You're not telling us why it's like that. He could not explain the why of the conditions. And I know someone who did. John chapter 3. Jesus to Nicodemus. This is the problem. It's called the wind. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going. And again, a lesson. So it is for everyone born again of the Spirit or born from above. The way the Holy Spirit works is like the wind, and you can't predict, and He blesses where and when He will, and the wind will blow wherever it pleases, no matter how hard. The best of the scientists with the best of the computers can put in all of the information, but you know it's all predicated on everything going on the way it always has. Because if we put in all this data that can be studied over all this time, then we should get out this result again and again and again, except for the wind. Because it will blow wherever it pleases until the good Lord comes back. And then, the worst climate change ever. Not water this time. God's promise with the rainbow in the sky is still promising never again like that with water. But global burning? So with the rain, the Lord Jesus says, you know what? Look at your neighborhood. You don't have the rain falling on just the righteous people and the bad guys who hate God. You know, they don't get any rain. Oh, no, no. Cities either. Everybody gets the rain. And the sunshine, same thing. You don't have a shadow over certain homes of people that you know really hate God. Doesn't matter. Maybe sometimes there might be a shadow over my house when I'm worrying too much, huh? Doesn't happen. Always sunshine. And Jesus takes that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and He says, this is your heavenly Father. He's perfect, making His sun rise on the evil and on the good, sending rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Now you be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. He doesn't say become perfect, like the Mormon church. They say if you don't get it right here, you'll have 10,000 years afterwards and to reach the celestial heaven. No, no, no. We have to tell people. It says be perfect. Are you? I'm sure not. We can't sit here in church and talk about some level of perfection that we've reached. The same Lord God who says, do not worry, says, do not murder. And He says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Well, there were times when I hated my brother because he was bigger than me, and it hurt when he put me in those headlocks. I was a murderer. And trying your hardest from here on out is not going to remove any of the other problems of greed, worry, materialism, the harsh husband and the disrespectful wife, dishonoring children. You can't get rid of all that. So what are we going to do? I'm going to be more grateful every day of my life when the law of God puts me in my place, on my knees where I need to be, and just makes me so glad that Jesus stepped up to volunteer to get down here with us into this muck and mire of sin with none of His own to point the way to heavenly treasures and then take all our guilt on Him. You cannot exhaust the wonder of that, and it will take all eternity to praise God enough for that. Because when you believe it, and you realize faith, too, is a gift of God. You realize, wow, this priceless gift He has given me, so this makes sense to me. Do you ever wonder why you can't, with your best arguments, convince, let's say, an atheist scientist that God created the world? Maybe next week I'll have a chance to tell you about the atheist scientist and his fallen away Catholic wife who offered us a glass of wine on our vacation, and we went to be with them. Boy, that was quite an education. More next week on that. But you cannot argue somebody into believing in creation. Why? It was in our second lesson. I'm sure you caught it. From Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. By faith, we know that the universe was created by God's word, so that what is seen did not come from visible things. It's by faith. You can't prove creation in the laboratory. Everybody's looking at the same evidence. But they can't go back and make evolution happen over again either. We're talking about not microevolution, but, you know, across the different species, kinds, or whatever they want to call them. Constant accidental mutations that just keep on getting better. I'm observing devolution in humanity and our culture and me. But God, by faith, Jesus says, check out creation. Lots of examples. And do not worry. And then, yeah, bank on kingdom economics. So in my Bible class, our Bible class on Wednesday, I asked if maybe someone could do some research for me. Because years ago, Pastor Robert Kant, if some of you remember him, he's in heaven now. But he came to one of our pastor's conferences with this great example of God's generosity. He had run the numbers on 1 inch of rain on a square mile and how much that came out to. So just, you know, a square mile is from here at church where Hodgson Road and Rice Street come together, 1 mile north on Highway 96, and the distance between Rice Street and Hodgson Road is about a square mile. So how much are you going to get in gallons if we get just an inch of rain? And I can see the wheels turning because some of our ladies are scientists in here too, and I know you probably just figured it out in your head. But thank you, anonymously, thank you, Tim. He not only ran the numbers, but he gives me two spreadsheets. I love this. He gives me one with, you know, in metric and the other one in imperial. And they both come out to roughly 17.3 million gallons of water. Now, you take your water bill if you want to. And by the way, you'll be way past the minimum there, so you got to take the highest figure available and start figuring what the dollar value is. But you cannot figure how many nutrients the Lord pulls out of the atmosphere and puts all over your lawn or your fields or the farmer's fields getting ready to feed you and me. It's the nutrients on the ground and the cleaning of the air, and that's why it smells so good after it rains most of the time. Awesome. Maybe if, you know, you got in-ground sprinklers, you really don't care. Some of us grew up in a desert. The soil was volcanic ash. It floats. Try to run irrigation on that and keep the lawns growing. Yeah, you watch your water real closely. God gives it free. He gives it free. Sometime if I had the courage, I would like, one blueberry. I would like to stop at the booth of the climate change folks and just set this beautiful blueberry on the counter and say, make one. You got that out of the field. I know. But you figure you can control the climate, you know, decades and centuries out. So just make one. Well, we can do that in the lab. Yeah, probably it'll look like that. But taste and nutrition, and I got to tell you, where we picked this from the field, there were millions of them, and the birds could have as many as they wanted except for the farmer's dog. It was a mutt, big yellow lab type mutt, but he hated birds, and no birds eating those blueberries or raspberries. You know what I'm saying? Everything we eat, another miracle. Don't worry. It's kingdom economics. And if God can take care of the flowers, clothing them, he can sure also take care of the birds. And he does. Look around. Aren't you worth more than birds? More than flowers of the field? Bank on kingdom economics. You know why some people are not worried about the stock market? They don't have a portfolio. Maybe they're not on a fixed income. You know why you don't need to worry about it? Because Jesus says the nations of the world chase after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Instead, continue to seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. There's priorities for you. I love how Jesus just sets the record straight. Seek the kingdom of God first. All these things are coming. Do not be afraid, little flock. We feel so small and insignificant. More and more, I think the more you listen to the news, maybe you shouldn't, but do not be afraid, Jesus, let us listen to you. We're a little flock, but your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. You didn't earn it. He gives it. And wherever thy kingdom comes, oh, I love this in the deep of the night when something wakes me up. Some memory of some stupid thing I did or said, pleading with the Lord again. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. As far as the east is from the west. Why did he say that instead of north or south? You can measure north or south. You think the ancients didn't know the world is round? They did. And the Holy Spirit did too. East and west cannot be measured. As far as the east is from the west, infinitely. So far has God removed, our Heavenly Father has removed our transgressions from us. Oh, he has pity on those with broken hearts. So he says, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not become old. A treasure in the heavens, heavenly treasure that will not fail. Where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. We keep getting more reports of thievery. Your car's not safe, right? Catalytic converter. Who would have thought? He says, treasure in heavens that will not fail, that no thief comes near, no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's not going to work to follow your heart. That's humanistic advice. It's got to be the other way around. Jesus says your heart will follow your treasure. So when you plan and act and seek and prioritize heavenly treasures first, it's the antidote to worry and greed and so many other things. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if you think about right where we are here, and you know that God also teaches us with what he gives us to honor the Lord with the first fruits of your offerings, yes, but take care of your family, pay your taxes, you know, even go on vacation. The dean of students and the all-male college where our pastors used to go, in the gospel account, or accounts, he looked at my class and he said, some of you future pastors will work yourself into an early grave and say you did it for the Lord, but you're not listening to the Lord in this text where he says, come away by yourselves and rest for a while. Jesus commanded his disciples to go on a vacation. And the Lord gives you what he gives you for your enjoyment. So he's not saying sell all your possessions, but does anybody else have a problem with bulging closets? How come so many of my neighbors can't get their cars into the garage and it's a three-car garage? Sometimes the boat has to be outside too. You know that this state has more boats per capita than any other state in the union, last I heard? It's the stuff, isn't it? So if you get out on the freeway and you get off on the first exit of 35E going south in Little Canada, and you come basically to the first or second intersection, what's there on the left? Thrift store. Our women of faith keep asking for volunteers every year to just go and sort stuff. And right next to it, the New Beginnings. Home for expectant moms and their children and the families, the fathers that want to keep those babies and give them life And now, thanks to mostly that Spanish work done there, we now have a Spanish preaching pastor at St. John and St. Paul, Pastor Otto. Who would have thought that by cleaning out your closets and getting rid of the clutter, you could sell your possessions and give to the poor and think about your treasure in heaven? What an awesome God. And now, dear His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, all glory to God. Amen.